Hello and welcome to the Sydney Institute podcast. The Institute is Australia's premier current affairs forum. Every week, contemporary political, social, cultural and economic issues are explored at the Institute through dialogue and discussion. This podcast was recorded recently at a members' forum in the city of Sydney. Thanks for listening, and for more information about the Sydney Institute, please visit www.thesydneyinstitute.com.au. We hope you enjoy this event.
Folks, thanks for coming along tonight. We're just getting underway. So I'll start again. Folks, thanks for coming along tonight. We've got two speakers tonight, Father Frank Brennan and Professor Helen Irving. If I can ask everyone to turn off their phones, that would be helpful. I'll introduce our two speakers before, but both Frank Brennan and Helen Irving have addressed the university. Helen Irving have addressed the Sydney Institute on a couple of occasions before, so I will introduce them briefly. Father Frank Brennan is chairman of the National Human Rights Consultation Committee. He's professor of law at the Australian Catholic University and visiting professorial fellow at the University of New South Wales. And Professor Helen Irving is professor at the University of Sydney and teaches Australian and comparative constitutional law there. Both of our speakers are published authors and well-known commentators. So we'll lead off with Frank Brennan, then Helen Irving will give her perspective, and then we'll come to questions and discussion around half past the hour. Father Brennan, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Thanks very much for the welcome back to the Sydney Institute, Gerard, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I'm here to provide something of a progress report on our national human rights consultation, and it's a great pleasure to do so. It was at the end of last year that the Rudd government announced this consultation. It was known that within the Labor Party there was a severe difference of opinion about the desirability of a Commonwealth Human Rights Act, and once Labor was back in government, it then became a contested question. I was overseas teaching at the time, and I was asked whether I would accept the role on the committee. I happily said yes, even though as a priest I'd always declined previous requests from government, in that it seemed to me with the Labor Party so bitterly divided on the issue that there was the prospect of a truly transparent community consultation. Things got a little more difficult when I got to Rome and got the phone call from the attorney asking whether I would chair the committee, and I made the disclosure that I was something of a fence sitter on charters like the Victorian and ACT models, and I was basically told that that was precisely why they wanted me to chair such an inquiry, so I've been happy to do so. On the committee with me is Mary Costakidis, who you'd know from SBS days. Mary's with us here this evening, and I acknowledge her presence. Also, Mick Palmer, who was Federal Police Commissioner, who'd be known to you from having done the inquiry into the so-called Cornelia Rau affair, and also Tammy Williams, a young Indigenous lawyer from Queensland. Mick has been taken up with other duties from time to time, particularly looking into piracy off the coast of Somalia, and so we've also had the services of Philip Flood, a very distinguished retired public servant who'd been the head of the Department of Foreign Affairs and had done the inquiry for the Howard government on intelligence services. So you can tell we're not a group of soft lefties who simply have a preconceived view about where we might go in the protection of human rights in contemporary Australia. Initially, under our terms of reference, it was said that we would wind things up by the end of July, but given the announcement was made over the Christmas period, you'll appreciate that the country didn't come back to work until after Australia Day, and so we commenced our undertaking in Parliament House in early February. And in early February, we took a number of steps. First, we wrote to all members of the Commonwealth Parliament, we wrote to all premiers, all attorneys general, all chief justices, and said that we were available for ongoing discussions. And there have been ongoing discussions during these months. We've also taken the opportunity to meet with key people involved in the governments in Victoria and the ACT to try and get a handle on the practical workings of their charters of human rights and the Human Rights Act in those two jurisdictions. Early in the piece, when we were called together by the Secretariat, we basically looked at the proposed agenda for consultation throughout Australia, and we thought that it was too limited, and so we basically doubled the number of locations which we wanted to visit. I was very adamant that we shouldn't only go to places where Qantas flew, in that if you're talking about the protection of human rights in Australia, you do have to get to some of the more remote areas. And so early in the piece, we applied for a one-month extension because we knew that we wouldn't be able to complete the community roundtables until mid-June. And so we were given an extension until the end of August. And as you may have seen earlier this week, we got our second and final extension for another month, and that was in light of the fact that we were expecting a few thousand submissions, but we've actually received about 40,000 submissions. Now, you will appreciate that it's difficult to do justice to that number of submissions. There have been a number of campaigns that have been waged during the course of our inquiry, and we welcome that as part of robust democracy. The three main groups who have mounted campaigns have been GetUp, Amnesty International, and the Australian Christian Lobby. We know that GetUp has provided us with over 14,500 submissions, Amnesty International with about 12,400, and of other submissions, we've received about 8,000, which are there in our database. And as well as that, at the community consultations, and you'll see here in the photos many of those community consultations, they occurred, there have been something like 2,500 individuals who attended those community consultations who also gave us a one-page written script at the end of each consultation. So you can see that it's been a fairly thorough community consultation. In terms of our terms of reference, you have to appreciate, despite some of the media coverage of this, in the end, this is not an inquiry about what Frank Brennan or Mary Kostakidis thinks about the desirability of a Human Rights Act. We may or may not have views on these things, and those views may or may not be expressed, and they may change over time. Our terms of reference are very specific. First, we've been asked to inquire what are the human rights and responsibilities that are important to Australians. Now, we know that we won't be hearing from all Australians, but we've heard from quite a number. We readily concede that those who are making submissions to us or who are attending community roundtables are likely to be people who are more communally active than would be the average or who have a greater grievance than would have the average. So, given that we've had some resources, we of course have also commissioned focus groups and a very detailed opinion poll, which will be an integral part of our report in terms of options. The second question we've been asked is, well, how do you think we're going in protecting and promoting those human rights and responsibilities? And the third, the sort of question that you are allowed to ask in a robust democracy, is do you think that we can do better? And so with the community roundtables, I think it's fair to say that the further you get away from capital cities, the less abstract the discussion becomes. In fact, discussion of the sort that Helen Irving and others would have about human rights doesn't have a lot of carriage in places like Minterby or Coober Pedy or Wadair or Santa Teresa, to name a few of the places that we visited. But what does have a lot of carriage is the idea of, do you think you get a fair go? What are the things that you're missing out on? Do you think there are people who are falling through the cracks? And do you think as a nation we can do better? And those sorts of questions do basically address the terms of reference of our inquiry. So we completed the community roundtables in mid-June, and we've just completed three very wonderful days of public hearings in Parliament House in Canberra. I was fortified by the fact that I noted that George Brandis, the Shadow Attorney General, attended about a half of the sessions over those 3 days, which was an indicator to me that we were getting the balance right in terms of putting the case for and against the various options and considering where we're going as a country. What we did over these 3 days was to structure it thus. Day one, to ask, well, who are the people who miss out? Who's falling through the gaps? How can we be a better country of the fair go? Day two was to consider the charter debate.